Some of you commented how fast service went this morning. I hope it's that same way for you tonight. This psalm can't be approached separately because it all has to do with the same subject and fits right in where it goes here in the order of the psalms because of the subject matter of it. So the Bible says in Psalm 71, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." I want you to note here how many times he refers back to his youth. So you get the idea. He wrote, this was written, and I believe in agreement with many commentators, and just the fact of the order where it is, that David wrote this in his old age. Because it speaks, the trust here is just exactly like David. So he says, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of my of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. For there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God. Who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for this psalm that gives us some insight to some of the things that we face as we grow older. Not only that, but things that we should grab hold of while we are young. And I pray now that this message will speak to hearts. God, that you'll speak to through me and to me. God, especially to those who need the encouragement. Those who are not currently walking with you would understand right now the importance of walking with you and the importance of developing a relationship that goes well beyond just church attendance. I pray that you would gain glory and honor and that you would be lifted up here tonight. You be magnified. It's in your holy name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. David went through many trials and tribulations in his life. And we who have gone through anything should be able to look back and see God in all of it. As we looked at this morning, everything that comes into our life is so that the Lord would be magnified. And the case for those of us who are older, and let me say this, this is like trouble. Some of you might say, well, that's good for you to say, Brother Ron, because you're old. Or you might think, well, this is a message for the old people in the church, in the room. You may not be old now, but the longer you live, the older you get. That's deep theology. And the older you get, the weaker you get. And the weaker you get, you can get grumpy or disappointed and depressed. Older people that sit alone are very discouraged often. These are things we don't like to talk about, but it happens. The older you grow, like for instance, my age group, people who are in my age group, you know this, the older you grow, the more people die around you. It's not good. I mean, it's part of life. You start losing parents if you haven't already lost them. You may lose children at this age. Nobody likes to talk about it. But what do you do? Well, this psalm gives you and I some insight to growing old with the Lord. Why it's necessary to build a relationship with Him. Now, Twyla and I have dealt with people who have, their kids get older and they want to, and I'm talking about in their 20s, and they want them to be changed. And so they, what can I do to change them? And the answer at that point is nothing. There's nothing you can do. You can pray, but you just have to leave it all in God's hands, that God knows, God will deal with it. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, it doesn't mean you should ever stop praying for them. It just means you can do nothing. Do you know the older you get, the more you realize, I really can't do anything about this. I can't strengthen myself to get up some mornings. The one thing I've noticed is when the time change came and the sun started coming up earlier, I usually would get up earlier. Now, I don't care what time the sun's up. I could care less. When my eye is open, they open. Now, Twyla, she's the 4:30 o'clock bird. That's good. I mean, you can set, if she's in bed at 5, she's sick. Something's wrong. 5:30, we need to take her to the hospital. I mean, it's she's, even when she's sick, she gets out of bed. Me, I'm not so much that way. And the older I've gotten, the worse it's gotten. To get up and force yourself to read the Bible, and I said force because some days you just, it's hard. I don't know why we're sitting here like we're all holy and I never have any problem reading my Bible. I blog. Just read my blog. I know the importance. I'm not making any funny of anyone who blogs. I'm just saying that's a, you know, that is sometimes how we cover our lack of, you and I can't do anything about it. So what is the best thing to do? Young people, listen to me. I don't care how old you are. Don't sit there and goof off during this, because at some point in your life, you're going to be old. When you're 60, you're going to be looking back at your life going, what have I accomplished? How's my life improved or not improved in my walk with God? How have I grown closer to God? Some of the older people in this room will tell you, I wish I would have started earlier because it's harder now. It's more difficult. People struggle. As you get older, you struggle reading your Bible. You go, I struggle reading my Bible now. Yeah, your brain is much more, is more fertile now and ready to receive the truth than it will be when you're my age. And David learned that. And so we have a key psalm here that gives us insight to David's growth with God along the way. And for those of you in the room who are saying, I have no idea why God's left me alive, I prayed that I would die. Toward the end of this message, you will see why you're here. And don't ever say, I don't know why God won't let me die. You're alive for a reason. Verse number 1. First of all, we see that he placed his trust completely in the Lord. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Now, that the wording there means, never let me be sorry for putting all my eggs in the basket of you. God, I'm trusting you and no one else. Everyone around me may laugh, they may scoff, they may scorn. My kids may not like it. They may think I'm crazy for going to church and making my way out and doing these things. But I'm doing it, and God, here's what I'm praying. Don't let me be embarrassed by this. Don't let me be the one put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation. So David, in his age, now he's older when he writes this. We've learned that in a couple of verses here where he talks about in his old age, how he's looking back, and he's still praying this prayer. So that tells me that you need to start praying this prayer now. If you're not, you need to start praying, God, be my habitation. Cause me to trust only in you. And when I trust in you, show me that it's the right thing to do. Just prove to me, God. Show me that it's right. Do you know he will? If you will take the challenge to read your Bible daily, you will start finding things opening up in the Bible, but you can't do it unless you start. It's so hard. Yes, it is. Do it. Why? If you don't know it now, you will not be apt to learn it later. It's harder to concentrate. It's harder to think on these things. If you put the practice in now, you'll find no difficulty when you get older. You will. You'll find no difficulty. Any of those of us who've been around the older folks that have gone on to heaven, it's not by chance that God suddenly dusted them with grace to die. In the process, they were preparing to receive the grace they needed when they died. Brother Bush is one of the people that comes to mind. I mean, the last time I saw him, he could barely breathe, and he wanted us to sing What a Day That Will Be. He couldn't even breathe. Our family stood around him and sang it. Mrs. Bush was there. We were standing there singing it, and he was thanking the Lord, and he kept saying, God's been so good to me. That doesn't happen if you don't spend time with God. It doesn't happen. You'll get bitter. No, I'm a Christian. No, you'll get bitter. You'll get angry. Every time I go over and visit Miss Martha, I love going and sitting and talking to her. How are you doing today? Well, I'm old. How do you feel? Old? I've got all these problems. My daughter's worried about me. I tell her, I'm old. She talks about the Lord. She's alone quite a bit. She sits in her house. She's not a lady that you go in and start, Miss Martha Connor, she's not a lady that you sit around and talk to and go, man, that was a horrible visit. Usually we're laughing about different things. You go, well, no, I'm telling you, that doesn't just happen. You have to look, if you set your trust on money, when you get to the end of your life, it's going to be rough. If you set your trust on relationships, they're going to go away. Many of those people may pass away from your life. You'll never see them. If that's where your trust is, there's no deliverance in those things. The only place there's deliverance is building a relationship with God that walks every day, day in and day out, on purpose with God. On purpose. On purpose. Not just saying I trust God, but showing it by studying His Word. And when it gets hard, when it gets difficult to do it anyway. That's when you'll be most rewarded for putting your trust in Him. Deliver me, oh my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Do you know the older you get, the troubles of life do not go away? In fact, they sometimes grow. sometimes they seem worse. Yeah, he says, deliver me, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Since my youth, I've invested in this relationship. Listen to me, young people. This is just such a good message for everybody in the room. Listen to me. Don't be like us old people and wait. Don't wait to start reading your Bible. Don't wait to trust the Lord. Don't wait. You know what you'll end up being? A grumbly, gripey, complaining person. You'll end up, some of you guys got saved when you were younger. If you're not reading your Bible right now, you know what's going to happen? You're going to forget that you actually trusted in the Lord for salvation. And you're going to start worrying about it, and you're going to wonder if you're saved. You know what happens? You didn't invest. You did not put time into trusting the Lord. Trust takes patience. It takes experience, because experience gives us hope. And hope makes us unashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You and I, listen, if you don't take the time from your youth to invest in the relationship, look, being accepted by your peers is not important. It's just not. Do you know I have no contact with anybody I went to high school with? Zero. Big, fat zero. Even all the girls. That's a good deal, right? Swallow goes, well, I hope not. Yeah. I don't call them. I don't talk to them. Now you go, well, Brother Ron, I mean, and honestly, I don't live around them. That's a reason. But I'm going to tell you, those relationships will not carry me through anywhere. I'm going to my 40th class reunion. I was thinking about my class reunions. I just said, I'm so glad I don't live near. I do not want to see a bunch of people my age acting like they're high schoolers. Get out of my face. No. That's so wrong. Who wants to do it? You don't know what you're missing. Well, I'll never know because I'm not going. So, what happens to people is they don't invest, they don't trust, and they get older, and you start losing a little bit of grip. When there's no one to trust, you start suspecting everyone. It happens. I've seen it. You've seen it. Man, I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful my parents don't sit around going, why did you do that? Do you know there are people their age that do that? Well, you're stealing from me. I mean, it happens. No, we don't like to talk about it, but it happens. You know why? Trust built in the wrong things. Here's what I know. My parents are getting older. Either I'm going to die or they're going to die. We're all hoping Jesus comes before all that happens. But you know what I know? If my trust is there, or their trust is in me, that'll be taken away. Then what do you do? It's got to be in the Lord to deliver you. It's got to be that He is your hope, because the older you get, listen to me, the older you get, that's all you've got. Money will not make you satisfied. Relationships will not satisfy you. People, your family being around. You know, I do feel sorry for people who are unsaved and they say he or she died peacefully with his family around him or her. I feel sorry for those people if they don't know that they're in heaven, because that really did nothing. And what's even sadder is when someone knows that their family member did not go to heaven. What do you do then? You better be trusting the Lord. You have to. There's no one else to trust. There's nowhere else to invest. He's your hope. He said, from my youth, you've been my hope. Would to God I would have started trusting and hoping in the Lord when I was a young person, instead of when I started finally turning to the Lord in my mid to late 20s. What a nightmare. And you know what? All I'll do is look back and look at the lost time. Where's your hope? Where's your trust? By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Growing older should prove to me and will prove to you, the more I know him, the more I know how little I know of him. If you spent your lifetime as a young person starting now trying to know God, all you'll do is get to a point where you'll say, I know very little about him. Listen to these verses. You are the one who took me out of the womb. So he praises him. He knows he was fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew him in the womb. And then he says this in verse number 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You know what David is admitting? He's admitting that God knew him from the time he was born and prepared his life before him and for him. And it was up to David to build a relationship with him to follow in that direction that God had set for him. And he says, what I did when I was young is I decided you were going to be the person that guided me. You were going to be the person that led me. And I placed everything I had in that bucket. Now, was he perfect? No, that's not the point. Here's what he's saying. God, you are taking care of me when I didn't even know you were taking care of me. Think about your birth. Did you have any control over it? Those of you who've lived in El Dorado or around El Dorado or in this area all of your life, did you have any control over it? No. You know where a big problem comes is when I don't trust the Lord. You know what I start getting mad at? The family God put me in. That's what happens. I hate the family I'm in. Well, guess what? God chose you to be in that family and chose that family for you to be in. My mother. Ladies, you're going to end up being just like your mother. You might as well let it go. Not never. No, you can say never. That has never worked. Ever. You're going to have characteristics because she's your mother. I said I would never be like my father. I did learn this week that dad jokes are very good. They actually help kids to mature and grow. And kids who have normal dad jokes around them grow up to be useful people in the community. My kids are going to be very useful. Because I am. Look at me. My dad joked all the... In fact, he still jokes. We were laughing the other day about some kind of deal he had going on. And I don't know what we ended up doing. He said he was going to beat me, so I don't know. But I'm telling you, not being satisfied with things God has given you is proof that you have no relationship with God. Your hope's not in him. Because here's the thing. Look, I know some of you aren't listening right now. I've already seen you. You're completely occupied somewhere else. I get it. You go, why are you calling people out? I'm not calling people out. I'm just telling you, you can sit here, you can act like you don't hear this message, but I'm going to tell you, when you get old, you're going to wish you'd invested in a relationship with something other than your pride. I'm a man standing here who did it. Listen, as a pastor, I can't imagine how pastors felt as they watched me respond. And it doesn't make me mad. It saddens me because someday there's going to be something that happens in your life that you're not ready for, and there will be no hope in God and no trust in God because you didn't take time to develop a relationship that saw that he cared about you when you were born. He cared about you in your mother's womb. He set your life in order. He has According to his word, he has revealed grace to every person on the planet, and they have an opportunity to know who he is. But you have to make the choice. Your negative attitude when things start coming your way, and your anger and your depression are proof that you do not know God, nor do you trust him. Well, Brother Ron, how can you say that? Because it's true for me. When I complain, and I find myself in the depths of complaining, it's not like I'm perfect and I'm not acting like that. I'm saying when I'm doing things that are outside of God's will, I look inwardly and go, you have a problem, buddy. Your problem is not the person that you have a problem with. The problem is you have the wrong relationship with God right now, and you better get straightened out in that relationship. Oh, Brother Ron. You can't do that unless you invest in the relationship. You have to know that everything going on in your life, God has set in order. If you have a sickness, God has put... Now listen, just stick with me through this message. There's a reason why you're sick. You can complain, you can whine, you can cry. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But I'm going to tell you, at some point, you're going to have to come to grips with, God knows me, and I have no idea what he's doing. I have no clue. There's a young lady in our church right now going through stuff. At the age she's going through, I'm like, I haven't asked permission to use her name. Some of you probably know her. But I'm just telling you, I am in awe. The problem she's having physically. I'm like, what in the world? I've not told her this, but I haven't had to. She seems to have the right attitude about it. She's not complaining. She's just going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Do you know, I don't know is because we don't know what God is doing in us. We need to accept that he cares and that he's doing what he's doing, and he's done it since we were in the womb. I'm thankful for my parents. Somebody said this recently, I heard them say, that they were so thankful for their parents that they told them before they died, if I could have chosen any parents, I would have chosen you. God did it for me. Man, that's... I know there's some adopted kids in here. Your family chose you, but you know what? God put them in your life on purpose. He chose them for you. We are so unthankful. It's simply this, because we don't know God. I'm telling you, it's because we sit in church, we fall asleep, we don't listen, we don't care. But if our kids get out of line, and then God brings something in our life, and we have no what hit us, and we have no idea how to respond because we weren't preparing for it. Folks, I'm just going to tell you fact. I never thought I would have diabetes. I thought I'd get to eat ice cream all of my life and donuts. What the two things I missed most? And people say, well, this place has sugar-free ice cream. It's a lie. I ate some sugar-free ice cream the other day, and then my daughter-in-law checked the carbs in the ice cream. 39 carbs for one scoop. After I ate it! I said, you're trying to kill me! We laughed. I'm telling you, things are going to go sideways in your life. Man, I have arthritis in my feet. I whine about it. I do. Twilight goes, just put the stuff on there and be quiet. And then she says, I love you. And I believe she does. She just doesn't love to hear me whine because it's not allowed in our house. It's against the law. If I were to depend on Twilight as my hope, that's why people go outside their marriage, because they're not building relationship with God. Your hope must be in the Lord. You've got to look at and know this. The more I know him, the less I know him. So you know what that should do? Not, don't give up. Try harder. Paul did it all of his life. It is amazing to me in church what we gripe about. It's amazing. It's amazing how we get angry about things. It is amazing. Some of the things we get amazing. It's just simply this. We don't believe that God is a God of order and that He actually put us in this place for a reason. I'm telling you, just hang on. We're getting there. It's building to this point. David said, the more I know, the less I know, because I've grown old, and now I know that you took care of me since my youth, before I was even born. Verse number 9, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Now, I know that we often try to direct this to other people, and there are people in your life that are going to be a burr under your saddle blanket. There are. God puts them there sometimes just to prove us. That's what He did for the children of Israel. He's going to do it to us. But the fact is, I need to go to God when I have these problems, because growing older with God proves to me more than ever that I need God. You're not going to wake up one day and say, oh, I need God, and then start reading the Bible and start participating and start building a relationship. There are a lot of people that wake up too late in their marriage when the kids move out and they realize they never built a relationship with their husband or their wife. I always want to call the wife their life, because she should be. But there are people, they wake up and then they go, well, I don't have anything in common. I mean, people that are married 20, 30 years getting divorced. You know why? No time built into the relationship to build the relationship. But the older you grow with the Lord, hoping in Him, trusting in Him, finding Him and having a relationship with Him and growing in that relationship, all of that just proves, as you get older, boy, do I need Him more than I ever needed Him. Because the more you sit around and think as an older person, and older people have more time to think for one reason, not because they retire. Most younger retirees or people that retire immediately say they're busier than they've ever been, typically. Man, I don't even know why I retired. I wish I wouldn't have retired. I would have stayed at work. But eventually, your body can't do hardly anything. And you're sitting and you're thinking. Sometimes you think about the stuff you should have done. Sometimes you're thinking about the stuff you could have done. And then sometimes you're thinking about the stuff you want to do. Do you know, that's when Satan wants to come in and just get in there and put a burr in you to make you upset about something so you'll have a cause. I don't know about you, but when I get sick and I can't do anything and I find it difficult to pray, those are the days that the fight is the worst. And David says, you know what? God, I need you to confound them. I need you to confuse them. I need you, the adversary, I need them to be reproached. God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. So instead of sitting there and thinking about all of this stuff, now I picture David, because as I read my Bible, I try to kind of place David in these situations. If you've read the scriptures through, you know that at the end of 2 Samuel, David's getting very old, and his kids are starting to do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, by the time we get to 1 Kings, he's got a son trying to take over. And this son has a big meal, and he's trying to prove that he's the king. And there's all kinds of, there's the prophet moving back and forth, and there's Bathsheba and Solomon trying to be positioned. And I'm thinking of David. He can't go out anymore. He can't come in anymore. He has a lot of time to sit around. And he's sitting there thinking about all the adversaries around him that still want to destroy him. David never was without adversaries. And that's because he made his way to that in war, and then also because of his actions. But he has so much trust in God that he does not go out and try to do the work himself or start a smear campaign. David prays to God and says, God, you take care of this. Because his trust is so much in God, because he's trusted. Think about this. I'm just trying to put all this together in my mind. As a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, he ran out and met a giant with a sling and acted like it was no big deal. Why? Because when he was out taking care of the sheep, he was writing songs to God and knew the scriptures. Now that he's old, he lives in a little bit of fear. His son is getting ready to take over the kingdom. He's not as useful as he used to be. And so he might say, I just can't do anything. I can't do the things I used to do. Well, he can't. So he says, God, I know that about myself. And so what I'm asking you to do, and what I'm convinced of more than anything, is I need you more today than I needed you whenever I was 17, 15, 16. I need you more now. And because I've practiced and I built the relationship. Wait. So if you don't start building the relationship when you're young, by the time you're here, you're going to have something absent in your life. And what's going to be absent is, you didn't trust God here, so why should you trust Him here? This is where depression, discouragement, despair comes from. Disappointment, disillusionment. Why? No trust here. No. You can say with your mouth when you're talking to other people, oh, I trust God. I know He knows what's going on. But when you're alone, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you and I are truly revealed. We say we've gotten over something, but where it's revealed is when we're in private, what we think or what we say to someone in private about the situation. People that are disgruntled not for a reason to do with other people. They're usually disgruntled because they don't trust God. I don't trust God. I don't like my doctor. We'll get a new doctor if you can. Well, what if I don't like that doctor? You didn't like the first doctor. How many doctors do you need? Well, Brother Ron, you don't understand. No, you're trusting the wrong person. Doctors do not know everything. You need to quit acting like they do. I've never met one that was the best doctor in the world. And I'm not mocking them. They're human beings. They are flawed. Like, I've never met the best politician in the world either. I've really never met the best preacher in the world. Why? That's not where I can place my trust. I've never met the best church member of the world. I've met some great ones. Well, all of y'all are great because you're here tonight, so. And the guys back watching movies and all that stuff in the back decking like they're doing security. You guys are good too. So, and people in the nursery, I see you back there. Kids, good job. You and I can't place our trust in men. David said, I need you. I'm convinced I need you. And as I'm older, I need you more. Folks, let me tell you, some of us older folks that are moving up, I can't believe I'm saying us anymore, but I am. I'm saying us. Some of us who are getting older, right now is the time to get your mind settled on, no matter what's going on. God, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. I may not have invested in that relationship properly over here, but I'm telling you, I'm very interested in it. Will you become real to me? Will you make yourself known to me? Will you come alongside me? Because I'm having struggles. Now, Brother Ron, I prayed that. Then pray it some more. Read the Bible some more. Put effort into it some more. Be around people who will encourage you to do it some more. Don't sit around and talk to friends who are going to take you away and make you angry. If they're not pushing you to God, then they shouldn't be your friends. You get that? If they're not pushing you to God, don't let them be your friends. One of the craziest things I've ever heard is a boy or a girl, as a young person, their parents told them not to be around someone, and they chose to do it anyway, and then their answer is this: well, my mom and dad just don't understand how much I love that person. Love has nothing to do with it at that age. Oh, Brother Ron, you just don't understand. Hey, I was young once. It has nothing to do with it. Well, I told you, any of those girls I even knew, I don't even remember their names. Twyla, I don't. And so, you know, another thing, and I'll just throw this in for free, it's not in the message, but another thing, growing older with Twyla has convinced me that I need her. It'd be a bummer. I mean, I'm just saying, if she goes before I do, my kids have already told me I'm not coming to their house. Rachel has put her foot down and said, you're going to the home. Whatever home there is but mine. Ryan has not spoken up, but I'm pretty sure he feels the same. I'm telling you, if all my trust is right there, I'm in big trouble. If I'm convinced I need her and something happens to her, what am I going to do then? It can only be on the one who lives eternally. Now listen to what he says. When I do this, this is what the result is. Growing old with you. Verses 16 through 24 kind of wrap up what is going on. Why is this necessary for older people, for young people to understand they need to start this young? So verse number 14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? In those verses, he says, God, I'm going to live out the rest of this life praising you, exalting you, magnifying you, making much of you, so that these people will see that God is worth the investment. It's okay to trust God. It's the right thing. I've never been sorry for trusting God, ever. When I've done exactly what God said, he's always come through. Never not. And I'll sing his praises, and it's like this. The older I grow, the louder I'm going to get. Because people need to know, why are you alive? This generation, this new generation, needs to see God. The problem with our country is people don't see God in Christians. They're confounded because they say, well, don't you go to church? Well, then why are you acting like this? We don't make much of God. A person who started in their youth, the older they get, the bolder they grow telling people about God. What do you got to lose? What are they going to do, mock you? They already think you're crazy because you're old. Brother Ron, I don't think that's very nice. I know what they think. They thought that when I was 30. Twyla's told them. The older I grow, the bolder I will get in praising you. Because this generation needs to see you. If you're older and you've wondered, why has God left me here? You're here because these people And all the younger people than you in this room need to see God in you. You know, my dad doesn't sit around and talk about, well, I don't know why God's leaving me here. Nope. You know what he does? He randomly sings. He sings songs randomly. He still sings good too. I'll just tell you, when I was a kid, I always marveled at his voice. He doesn't know that. He could sing Jerusalem, but his voice was deeper than mine, much richer. I have a little bit higher voice, but he would sing that and I'd go, wow. He still sings. You know what I'm seeing? God. Well, it's your dad. No. I've seen God in other people. Brother Ivan Smith. Man, did I see God in him. Brilliant man. Brilliant. Well educated. Could have done anything and been a multimillionaire at it. You know what he loved to do? Teach younger guys about mechanics, small engines, and tell them about the Lord and tell them things. Every person he met. And the older he got, the bolder he grew. Yeah. Miss Whiteside, down there with those kids, she loved them. All those years, she loved church. Can I tell you, there's a younger generation in this church that needs to see older folks loving God, trusting God, God working in their life, because there's a bunch of naysaying young couples in this church. A bunch? Yeah. What do you mean? Well, evidently they're not seeing God. Or if they're seeing him, they're not letting him in. And I speak to you right now, if you're a naysayer, someday you're going to need God, but you won't know how to reach out to him because you haven't practiced. If you're a lady who comes here without your husband, you do it. Don't say, I wish I had a husband who did it. If you're a man and you don't have a wife that comes, you do it. Why? Because by your conversation, they will see God. David said, the more I walk with you, the older I grow, the louder I'm going to proclaim who you are. Why? Well, what are they going to do? I'm getting so old now. That's what they need to see. We often question why God does things in our lives. There's a reason. People around you that are Christians need to see God in you so they can be encouraged when that starts happening to them. Oh, maybe not the same thing, but they'll need to see the way that you went to God, the way that you stuck with him, the way that you cried out to him, the way that you depended on him, no matter what it is. And you think this message is hard or easy to preach? At my age, it's very difficult because I don't know what's coming next. But I know I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility, not to any person in this room, but to make much of God so that people in this room and out there will say, wow, only God can do that. There's something different there. I need that. I don't need the same kind of complaining. I don't need the same kind of griping. What I need is that. Whatever that is, that's what I need. Will you tell me what that is? Wouldn't it be awesome if that was your testimony? Yeah, if you're going through something difficult and they would say, I don't know how you're doing that. Could you tell me how you're doing it? Here's probably what you'd say. I have no idea. I'll just tell you this much. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I ask God to help me because I'm not capable of doing this on my own. Instead, unfortunately, what the world sees is Christians, so-called, which Christians should be Christ-like, not being Christ-like. Believers who claim to be believers that don't look like they believe anything. David says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. You know, one day, very soon, Jesus is going to come back. And all the people that thought you were crazy for being at church on Sunday night are going to notice that you're gone. And maybe not within the 7 years, they may not even make it through the tribulation if they didn't respond to the message, the gospel message. But if they do, if they make it through the 7 years, you know what they're going to come out on the other side seeing? When you come back with the Lord, they're going to be confounded. And you know who's going to be really confounded? Satan. Because he still doesn't understand how God took his son, offered him for a sacrifice to himself, lived a perfect life, became the perfect sacrifice, and then created Gentiles that would praise his name, or Jews that would praise his name. And as they went through the troubles and trials of life, David said, No, my trouble has been sore. It's been great. But God, you brought me through all of that. Remember, while you're going through the sore troubles and trials, it is part of life. But God can bring you through and will bring you through it if you will trust him. I've heard this all my life, Brother Ron. It doesn't work. No, it does work. When you invest in a relationship and you start building that relationship with the Lord, you're right. It won't work if you just try it. Just try it. One of my new favorite snacks, because that's all I can eat pretty much later in the day, are pork rinds. And I've always liked them, but I like the flavored ones. I like the hot, spicy kind. I really like them. Henry did not like them. I said, man, just try it. He goes, I mean, most of you don't know his actions, but he just goes, no. I put it under his nose. Just smell it. It smells, no. Come on, just take a bite. Okay, because he knew I wouldn't let him go until he took a bite. Took a bite. No. I don't like it. I said, come on, man, try a whole one. Put it in your mouth. No. I love them. You'll love them too. Papa, there is something wrong with you. Okay, I'll stop. You sure you don't want? You crunch it up and put milk on it. It'll be really good. He's not having any of it. Harrison would try it. Henry would not. He'd only try it for a minute, though, because it would be horrible. But Rice Krispie pork rinds, that'd be cool. So anyway, they do crackle and pop when you pour stuff on them. Anyway, I was thinking, as I was thinking about this older I get, you know, there's a lot of things that I should have tried when it came to God. And I said, no. And now, here, which I'm not ancient, but to you people, I am ancient. And I know that. To my grandkids, I'm ancient. When I look back now, I say, man, I should have tasted of the Lord and seen that he was good earlier. Because if he's this good now, how good would he have been had I trusted him more here? Or do you regret that? Yep. I sure do. Why? Because as I grow older, I really don't know what to expect. A lot of good men are my age and less have developed diseases that take their minds away. How will it be? You know, I remember Brother Willis. Of all the places he felt comfortable, it was here. Kids would come by and talk to him. He'd talk to them. His family was struggling. But here, man, it's where he belonged. Isn't that awesome? You can be sad about that or you can go, that's awesome. Will it be that way for you? Will this be the place? Will these people, will you be a person who shows forth God and just gets louder in your praise and magnifying Him? Or will you disappear and hide because it's rough? See, I want you to know here that nothing gets easy here. It seems like the progression through the psalm is things are going to get worse as you get older. It's true. Nothing you can do about it. But you know what you can do? Prepare for it. How will I know how I'll be? It depends on how you are now. If you're a complainer now, that's not going to go away. That's your practice. If you're a person who praises now, if you're a person who goes to God now, if you're a person that hopes and trusts in God, if you're a person that recognizes that the more you read and know and closer to get you get to God, the less you know about Him, and so the more you want to know and read about Him so you can get closer to Him, so that you can know more about Him, so that you'll figure out you know less about Him. If you start living your life recognizing that He cared about you from the before the time you were born, so He certainly cares about you now that you're His child, you'll begin to see, you know, this really isn't about me. I'm alive because there's somebody that needs to see God. And I'm going to show them God. Not just by witnessing, but they're going to see God in me, no matter how old I get. And the more they see, the louder I'll praise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.